Ken. I have quite a few scriptures to read tonight. I'd like to open with scripture in the fifth chapter of Hebrew. It's good to see each one of you here tonight. It's good to be here. I'm going to talk about several important subjects tonight. And I'd like to start in the 11th verse of 5th chapter of Hebrew. And this is kind of one of those scriptures that's kind of hard just to jump in the middle of. And there's one verse that I am interested in, but I started reading at the 11th verse because of some of the things said. And the of whom it starts out of in the 11th verse is Christ that they're talking about. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I want to make one comment there. I'm not finished reading. I always used to start with chapter 6 and read, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And it kind of is empty to me without the last part of the 5th chapter. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, brothers and sisters, let's eat meat and let's be strong and powerful in Christ and this gospel. Let's go on into perfection. Let's go on into perfection. I'd like to turn to 1 Nephi, the 5th chapter. It's on page 47. First verse. I'm going to read something that Nephi says. He was talking to his older brothers who were not the spiritual men that Nephi was. And he says, and now it came to pass that after Nephi had made an end of speaking to my brethren, behold, they send me, thou hast declared unto us hard things, more than we are able to bear. And it come to pass that I said unto them, that I knew that I had spoken hard things against the wicked, according to the truth. And the righteous have I justified, and testified that they should be lifted up in the last day. Wherefore, the guilty taketh the truth to be hard, for it cutteth them to the very center. And now, my brethren, if ye were righteous and were willing to hearken unto the truth and give heed unto it, that ye might walk uprightly before God, then ye would not murmur because of the truth and say, thou speakest hard things against us. I think that's another scripture that is talking about the meat of the gospel and how we are supposed to be receptive and not grumble and mumble if something bothers us. That is the truth. I'm going to talk about that subject more or less, about some problems that I have recognized, and maybe you have too. I'm not the only person who recognizes problems in my life and in your life. I'm not preaching this to be critical. I'm preaching this so we can grasp a hold of the meat of the gospel, and that we can grow in strength. And as it says here at the end of the 5th chapter, that we exercise discern both good and evil, and that we move on to perfection. I'd like to start with a scripture in Mark. I want to eliminate a little bit of a... Well, I don't know if that's... I just want to read a scripture in Mark, and it's then say a few things before I try to explain it. In the 10th chapter, I'm going to read, starting with the 2nd verse. And I don't even want you to listen to what the subject the Pharisees are talking about or what Christ is talking about. There's one point here that I'm trying to get to. But anyway, in the 2nd verse it says, and the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? They were tempting Christ. And he answered and said to them, what does Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and put her away. And Jesus answered and said to them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. You know, he goes on and explains that that the marriage is a sacred in the eyes of God and is not to be misused or abused. But the point I'm trying to get out in this scripture is this precept that you can receive a bill of divorcement was given to these people in past times and in this time because of their hardness of heart. Well, that isn't our problem this day and age. I tell you, if you have come to this chapel one or two, three Sundays in a row, you have had the truth and the plainness expounded to you with power and authority and pureness. Sometimes we recognize the pureness, but we sometimes, because a person doesn't get up here and pound on the pulpit and use emotional tactics, we misunderstand and we misinterpret the powerful aspect of this gospel. I want to tell you a little story of how, and I'm not knocking anybody, I'm just telling you, I want to tell you this story because it struck home to me how people use emotionalism and different, oh, I don't know if I want to say tricks, but different things to fire people up. I was, quite a few years ago, I was down in Florida for some schooling. And I was, I went to this little revival down there they were having. And this guy, we was in a room about half this size, and he had two big speakers, and he had his microphone, and he was peeling the paint off the wall. And right in the middle of that sermon he was giving, he had a glass of water that nobody saw. He flung that water out on the people. Now, I don't know why he did it. I've yet to this day know why he did it. Maybe to wake some people up, but I don't see how they could sleep. Don't misunderstand me. Don't miss my whole point. From this extreme to this extreme, you can find emotionalism to get your interest. But that's not the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, God uses our emotions. But I can recall many times when God has spoken through the Spirit and the emotions that was felt was calmness and peace and a oneness that you don't find any place else. We don't have the problem of the plainness not being before us. If you've taken this book and have opened it toward the end where it asked you to read in faith believing and ask God the truth in your home, in your studies, the truth is opened up to your mind and your heart by the Holy Spirit. We don't have that problem. And that's not what I'm preaching on tonight. I want to turn to Matthew, the 15th chapter. I may get to my subject here eventually. I'm going to start with the third verse. But he answered and said to them, why do you transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? I'm going to read the second verse because there's a phrase there. It says, why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? These were the Pharisees asking Christ why his followers, his disciples, were transgressing the tradition of elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread. That was one of their rules they lived by, their religious rules. And he asked them, but he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. That was what God said in the Mosaic Law, and he still says that to us. But the Pharisees had taken it, and they said, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whosoever thou mightest be profited by me. And let me explain. I read an article about that one time, in case you don't understand, and I didn't until I read this article of Jewish history and religious history. But what a Jewish, young Jewish family would do, if they had a father and mother that was being along in years, instead of keeping them all their lives and honoring them and helping them out, they gave them a lump sum of money or property and said, you're on your own. Or they had a choice. Or they took the same amount and gave it as a gift to the temple. And they were free of this obligation to their mother and father. This was how they profaned this law of God. And in the sixth verse it says, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah as prophesying of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I'd like to, real fast, before I explain that or get into that too much, go over to the 7th chapter of Matthew, and I'm going to start with the 22nd verse. I'm going to start with the 21st verse. Very important scripture, very important commandment in our life. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess, and to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And then it goes on to explain how the rain descended. Have you ever studied have you ever thought about or studied what that work of iniquity was? He's talking to a people that did many wonderful works and cast out devils, and they prophesied in his name. Have you ever really thought that out in your hearts? I'm going to try tonight to give an example of how we might, and not everybody does it, and everybody's at different levels of growth, but how we might be putting ourselves in the same position as the Pharisees concerning the honor thy father and mother. And I'm not talking about that specific commandment. I'm talking about how we sometimes use worldly logic to eliminate some of our responsibility and to take away some of our responsibility. I'd like to turn over to a verse of scripture that has really, for about a month now, 3 weeks or a month, has really been in my mind, and I've read it almost, not every day, but just about every day for the last 3 weeks. And I've read one verse in particular, which I'm going to read tonight. It's in Luke, the 6th chapter. I'm going to start and read the 28th verse, and then the 27th verse. And then I'm going to read a few more verses. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despisefully use you. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Now the reason I read that in reverse is because I have observed that it is very, very easy to be a blessing and a praying person when you don't have to come in contact with those who hate you, when you don't have to associate with the people that you don't want to associate with. It's easy when somebody at work is mistreating you, and I know, I mean, I can vouch for this, it's easy to go home and pray about it and bless them in your mind, but not do anything about it at work. But the 27th verse says, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you." And that is an action that each of us are responsible for in our daily lives. And many times we put the emphasis on the blessing. You know, we bless them in our hearts and we pray for them in our prayers. But we don't put the action into our actual physical lives. And to them, and you know, the next two verses I'm going to read, I would hate to guess how many reams and volumes have been written to try to disprove or to eliminate the responsibility of these next two verses. It says, "And to them that smite thee on one cheek, offer also the other cheek. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy cloak also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again." And I dare say each of us have come up with, well, we can't just let anybody take anything they want. We just can't do it. Brothers and sisters, we can do it. Because I'm convinced that Christ was not just talking to be talking. I think that we have to do it. You know, instead of, this is just an observation of mine, instead of coming up with reasons why we shouldn't do it, let's read the 38th verse and apply this promise to our lives. "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Instead of worrying about if give to every man that asketh of thee, instead of worrying about if that's really truly supposed to be in our lives, let's not worry about that. Let's not worry about if we're supposed to turn one cheek or two cheeks. I've heard people discuss for over half an hour how many cheeks you're supposed to turn when a person slaps you. That's not the point. I'm telling you, that's not the point. We should be looking at the 38th verse. And I guarantee you that promise will be fulfilled in your life if you are generous and you are loving and you rely on God in your giving and in your efforts to work with people. You know, I'm concerned because I know in my life that we have not been an aggressive people when it comes to feeding the hungry and clothing the people who need clothes and sheltering the homeless. We've not been aggressive in our lives. You know, there's a few people among us who have, and I hear criticism toward those people all the time. And I don't know. Well, I do know. Because there are scriptures that say we should be aggressive. I want to turn to Mosiah, and I'm going to talk about giving and the hungry and the naked for a while. I'm going to turn to page 223. I'm going to read verse 44 in the second chapter of Mosiah. And it says, "And see that all things are done in wisdom and order, for it is not requisite that a man should run faster than he has strength." I remember just a few minutes ago I was going to try to relate some problems we have concerning how we might be falling into the traps of the Pharisees, the mistakes the Pharisees made by twisting the law of Moses. They twisted the law of Moses around to fit what they wanted. I'm going to try to get into that in a few verses of scripture here. And this 44th verse is one of the verses that I'd like to talk about. And I'm not saying that what is being said here is not the truth. It is the truth. You should not run faster than you have strength. But I have heard this scripture quoted every time the verses between, I think, verse 26 and 41 or 42 is read. And I'd like to read you just a few of those scriptures. It's talking about giving to people who ask and who are needy and who are beggars. And the point I'm trying to get is that in 44 tells you not to run faster than you have strength. But the scriptures before this tell you how you should react, whether you have the wealth or the resources to help someone, or whether you do not have the resources. And verse 44 has nothing to do with how your heart is supposed to be toward the needy. What it has to do is that you are to use wisdom in your application of your wealth. It has nothing to do with how you treat and how your heart is toward the needy. And I'd like just to read, I got the verses written down here somewhere, starting with the 37th verse, and starts out here talking about if you have the money and the wealth and the riches to give the needy, how you, tells you what you're supposed to do and what happens if you don't do it. And if you judge the man who putteth up his petition to you for your substance, that he perish not and condemn him, how much more just will be your condemnation. For withholding your substance, which doth not belong to you, but to God, to whom also your life belongeth. And yet ye put up no petition, nor repent of the thing which thou hast done. I say unto you, woe be unto that man, for his substance shall perish with him. And now I say these things unto those who are rich, as pertaining to the things of the world. Now that's the trouble we're in. If we have the riches and we are hoarding them and we are holding back those riches to people who need them. Now it talks to the people who do not have, who are poor and who are living, you might say, hand to mouth, just day to day. And I say unto you, okay, let's see, 40th verse. And again I say unto the poor, ye who have not and yet have sufficient, that ye remain from day to day. I mean all who deny the beggar, because ye have not. I would that ye say in your hearts that I give not because I have not, but if I had, I would give. And now if ye say this in your heart, ye remain guiltless, otherwise ye are condemned, and your condemnation is just, for ye covet that which ye have not received. It has nothing to do, brothers and sisters, on how much we give or how little we give. The first 44 has nothing to do with that, except that we cannot give it all away and not be able to help people in the future. But what I am talking about, let's not confuse the subjects here. The counsel for wisdom in our efforts to help somebody, and our attitude and our heart and how we feel toward people. Let's expand our minds and our hearts outside this room. I'm not talking about Ron giving to the Hube or Wanda to Jay. That is part of it. But I want you to expand your minds and your hearts outside this room. Because unless our hearts are right, and unless we fall into this category where we give when we have it, and if we don't have it, we wish we did with all our might. That's the way I understand it. Then we would give it if we had it. If we don't fall in that category, we have to repent to God, because we are hoarding and we are prideful and we are desiring things that are not ours even. I'll tell you, there's one other situation here I want to get into before I leave these scriptures, but every one of you is probably familiar with this last month's Hand of Fellowship. It's got, are we doing our part for the elderly, the homeless, the unfortunate? And I wrote a great big no right up there. And I'm talking about myself. I wrote a great big no up there. Now, you take your Hand of Fellowship when you get home. I dare say every one of you's got a copy. And you put your answer on it. And you be honest, because you've got to face God. You don't have to face Norman. You've got to face God. You put your answer on it. I'm ashamed. I'm not proud of that answer, but I had to show it to you. I'll tell you another thing I want to talk about these scriptures that bother me, and I want to do something about them. We read this scripture from, like I said, 27th verse or so on through the end of the chapter, and every time I hear it, I hear a discussion about this, you might say. I hear people saying, the beggar, the poor, and the helpless, the homeless, the naked, have to come to me and ask. Now I hear this. And brothers and sisters, I read scriptures that says that is not true. It mentions those who come and ask for you, for help. But I like to turn to a very, very familiar scripture. And it was so familiar to me, I hadn't read it in so long that I had to look it up in the concordance, and I'm ashamed of that. Because it's Isaiah, the 58th chapter. And some of you know what it says, right like that. But I was ashamed. I had to look this up. I looked all around the 58th chapter because I thought I knew where it was. And I'm just going to read two or three verses. I'm going to read starting with the 6th verse. And God has before this has told the Israelite people that their type of fast that they were participating in was not the type of fast he was satisfied with. This is the fast that God wants. This is the fast that he has chosen. To loose the bands of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Brothers, and I want to read one more verse before I forget it. In the 10th verse, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shalt thy light rise to in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. Now he has covered the spiritual needs of people and the physical needs of people. And I'm telling you, we cannot separate them. And we cannot wait for them to come to us. That is not what it says here. We are to go to the hungry and the afflicted and the bound and the heavy laden. That is our responsibility. Just in case you doubt it, let's turn to Jacob on page 170. And there are some things said here that don't even apply to us, but there are some things here that we've got to listen to because it's a law of God. The second verse, second chapter, I'm going to start with the 16th verse. And this 16th verse may not apply to us, but I want you to listen to it anyway because it's part of this whole scripture that I want you to digest. And because some of you have obtained more abundantly than that of your brother, and you're lifted up in pride of your hearts and wear stiff necks and high heads because of the costliness of your apparel and persecute your brethren because ye suppose that ye are better than they. And now, my brethren, do ye suppose that God justifieth you in this thing? Behold, I say unto you, nay. Now, just to make a few comments, I am convinced, brothers and sisters, that we don't do that in this group of people. But I am not convinced that we don't look down on people who are needy and who are less fortunate than us. I'm not convinced of that. Because I can look at my life. I'm not convinced that we don't need a little bit of charity in our life concerning this matter. A little bit of humility concerning this matter. But he commandeth you, and if ye persist in those things, his judgments may speedily come upon you. Oh that he would show. And this statement here is very harsh. And I don't even know. Well, I'm going to read it because I started it. But I just don't want you to think that this is the way I think. This is just part of these scriptures. And listen to the whole scripture. Don't get mad at this one, okay? And that, he would show you that he can pierce you, and with one glance of his eye, he can smite you to the dust. Now that's not my desire. I hope you know that. But he is a powerful God, and he could do that. We're like, as it says in Isaiah, we're as grasshoppers under his feet. I'm not going to tell you a little story. A little incident that happened. I won't go into that. Oh, that he would show you that he can, okay. Oh, that he would rid you from this iniquity and abomination. Oh, that ye would listen unto the word of his commands, and let not this pride of your hearts destroy your souls. Think of your brethren. And I'm asking you to expand yourselves out of this room. Let your minds think of when it says brethren, outside these walls, brothers and sisters, because that's what he's talking about here. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves. Be rich like unto you. But before you seek riches, seek ye the kingdom of God. And after ye have obtained a hope in Christ. And I'm looking at a group of people, brothers and sisters, that I believe fall in that category. The majority, I believe, right here, fall in that category where we have obtained a hope of salvation in Christ. And after ye have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches. If ye seek them, and ye will seek them, for the intent to do good, and this is the important part right here, with the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive, and administer relief to the sick and the afflicted. And now, my brethren, I have spoken to you concerning pride, and those of you which have afflicted your neighbor and persecuted him, because ye were proud in your hearts of the things which God hath given you. What say ye of it? What say ye of it? You know, you don't have to... Sometimes when we talk about persecution, we think of the pilgrims who were persecuted, the Puritans who were persecuted. They were the Jews in Nazi Germany who were persecuted. But we can be persecutors too, to people who are less fortunate. Just let that simmer and sink in. We don't even have to say that. The trouble is, we don't usually say anything to them, and we don't do anything toward them. Now, okay, what say ye of it? Do you not suppose that such a things are abominable unto him who created all flesh? And the one being is as precious in his sight as the other. I really feel that we have to change our attitudes of our heart. And we have to quit saying they're going to have to come to us. Because that's not the way the Lord intends us to be with our riches. Oh, you know, I want to separate our riches. When I say riches, I want to say I'm talking about spiritual and material, and I want to separate them, but I can't separate them in my mind and in my heart. We have abundance in both categories. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Abundance. You know what makes my riches abundant? More so, I mean, there are people out there that have houses and land and billions of dollars, and they don't have the peace of mind that this man right here has. We're rich. I want to read scripture in Matthew, the 9th chapter. In the 12th verse, and I used to read this scripture, and I had one way I thought of it, and maybe you've been the same way, but I want to read this 12th and 13th verse. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now I want to turn over real fast. There's another reference to this over in the 12th chapter of St. Matthew, 3rd through the 8th verse. I'm going to read the second verse. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said to them, Have ye not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the shew bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have committed the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. Do you understand? It took a lot of prayers. I've read that scripture many times, and I'm still not sure that I can explain everything the Lord meant there. But there was one remark there that is the key. In my mind is the key. I've lost it now. For the Son of Man is even the Lord, even of the Sabbath day. It goes right back to the traditions of men. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, sometimes we have to break away from those traditions to serve with mercy our fellow man. There was a thought that came to my mind. I don't know if that explains it to you, but there was a thought that came to my mind because of other scriptures I've read, and I might even read one here in a minute. When it says, For I am not come to call the righteous. I was really impressed with the fact that we are a righteous people because we know the law and we know how to apply it. I'm not saying we don't sin. I'm saying because of the plan of redemption and the sacrifice of Christ, we go to God in repentance. And we are striving to perfect our lives. We are a righteous people. I didn't say we was a perfect people. I said we was a righteous people. I believe that. And I'm convinced that the righteous man is supposed to serve the sinners with all our hearts and all our minds and all our souls. Christ represented God on earth when he was here. And I want to tell you, each of you here, that we have that very same responsibility placed up in our shoulders and in our laps and in our lives. We are to teach and talk to and feed and clothe sinners. Hardcore, in the gutter sinners. And I don't say that as slurring anybody, because I know what the gutter looks like. I don't mean I was a wino, but I know what I've done in my life. And as Paul says, I am the greatest of sinners and have been forgiven the most. He didn't say that, but I said that. Let's not let the traditions of man, and don't misunderstand me. We have many things we do that are traditions of men, but we are sometimes very, very strict with the traditions of man and very lax with the laws of God. Sometimes we are. Sometimes we really are diligent with the wrong things. But don't let our importance outweigh God's importance. That's the best way I can say it. I'd like to turn to 1 Timothy. I'm going to go to the first chapter, if I can find it. I'm going to start with the eighth verse. I don't know, I think I just may read just the eighth verse. I was going to read a lot more than that, but it gets pretty, well, we'll see. In the eighth verse it says, But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. And isn't that what I've been talking about? We know the law is good if a man use it lawfully and not to his own desires. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, and I am reading this because I want to express the seriousness of our responsibility toward the world. But for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. That's why. That's why everything before you is the way it is. I am convinced with all my heart that's why we have 12 apostles. That's why everything is organized. That's not the only reason, don't get me wrong. But I am convinced until we are more diligent in at least these two areas of having a little more compassion for the needy and for being able to associate and talk to the worst of the worst. I think we're going to be slow in our growth. I really feel that. I'd like to turn to a very well used and important scripture in Matthew, the 13th chapter. And I've just got two more scriptures to read as closing. I want to leave you with a thought, and I'm going to read just one verse out of the 13th chapter. And it's right at the end of a little story Christ was, a parable that Christ was telling. But there is a expression here that I want to have you think about in my closing thoughts. And it's talking about the parable of the sower. In the 8th verse it says, "But others fell to good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold and some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." You know, I used to interpret that as when a person's converted, he converts other people. But I'm not sure that's all of it. I know it's not all of it. That's part of the fruits. Before I make any comments, I want to read the other scripture I have. It's in the book of Alma, page 430. And it is, I'm going to start with the 221st verse. And he is talking about prayer just prior to this, and he continues to talk about prayer. But he makes some other statements that I feel are important to not only what I've said tonight, but our salvation. "But this is not all, that ye must pour out your souls in your closets and your secret places and in your wilderness. Yea, and when ye do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those who are around you." And we understand that. And that goes right back to the first scripture, or second scripture, third scripture I read, wasn't it? Fourth scripture? I don't remember. Where it says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who use you. I can't remember exactly. But the next part goes back to that, where you're supposed to treat them with love. It tells you to pray for them. Now, brethren, behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all, For after ye have done all these things, if ye turn away the needy and the naked, visit not the sick and afflicted, and part of your substance, if ye have, to those who stand in need. I say unto you, if ye do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is in vain, and availeth you nothing, and ye are as hypocrites who do deny the faith. Therefore, if ye do not remember to be charitable, ye are as dross, which the refiners do cast out, it being of no worth, and is trodden down underfoot. And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit into repentance. Now, it doesn't say bring repentance. It says bring fruit. And I want to go right back to the 8th verse. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. And I believe that fruit is at least 3 things in our lives. And I've written them down so I wouldn't forget them, because sometimes you these thoughts come to your mind and you forget them. And I think one of the things is the works of charity and compassion in our lives, and how we react toward other people. I think the other thing, the fruits that we're talking about, is doing the impossible or the unusual. And I like just to mention some examples. Noah and Abraham are a couple examples. They were asked to do unusual and seemingly impossible things. But that's part of our fruits, is to do the impossible. The other is to obey the commandments of God. Now, you know, that may seem like it's the same thing, and in a way it is, but there are definite commandments that we have to build our lives upon. And it is true, doing the impossible is part of that, and being charitable and compassionate is part of that. But I wanted to separate those three and bring those out. I believe the fruits, the 100-fold fruits, is exactly those 3 things. We have to eat the meat of this gospel. And we have to be, you know, I want to say nitpicky, but you might take that wrong. Because I don't want you to turn to Luke, the 6th chapter, and pick the words of Christ apart. But I want you to be picky in your lives on how you act with these commandments. I don't want you to compromise them at all. And if you have to be nitpicky over anything, be nitpicky when you hear someone say, oh, you don't have to do this or you don't have to do that. What does the scripture say? Be diligent. Maybe that's a better word. Be insistent on being right. I want growth in our lives, in my life. I'm not happy because that no is there. I'm very dissatisfied with it. I'm not happy with the way my life has been in the past. I want to take Christ. You know, there was one other thing that I was going to mention, and I'm still not going to mention it because I think there's a reason it would slip my mind. I try never to fight that. If something slips my mind, I don't worry about it. But there's several other things that sometimes that I hear that are excuses and reasons for not doing stuff. And that's what we got to be careful of. I just read something that Brother Hasnick handed me. And it was a admonition and a promise from the Lord. And part of that promise, and I probably won't quote it right, but it says, do not give private interpretation to the scriptures, but rely on the Holy Spirit. And that's where we will grow and eat meat, and we will go on to perfection. And we will have discernment and power. Not the yell and scream and shout and power, but the power of peace and love and growth. Thank you very much.